Good morning, everyone. Today's parak is the seventh and the final parak of Hilchos Tamid Torah. In it, the Rambam will detail the halachos of excommunication. As he mentioned yesterday, under certain circumstances, in fact, he listed 24 different circumstances, one is liable to be placed in excommunication. And today, the Rambam will tell us what exactly that looks like. Halacha Aleph. Chacham zakin b'chachma, v'chein nasi o'av based in shetzarach. If you have a wise person who's known to be a particularly wise individual, or you have the formal leader of Klal Yisrael, the leader of the Sanhedrin, the nasi, or the second in command, the av based in, that unfortunately was sarach, which means to say that he has gone off the proper path of the Torah, ein menadin oso b'far hesyo l'olam. We don't ever publicly place him in excommunication. El imkein asak yoravim b'nevad v'chaver. The one exception is if he acts in such a fashion like Yoravim or those that were similar to him had, in which they caused all of Klal Yisrael to stray after Averos, so in that circumstance we can put him in excommunication, but otherwise we will not. But if he sins in a different fashion, then we won't give him excommunication, but we will still administer lashes privately. That when you'll stumble that day and your leader, the Navi, will stumble as well, so then you should treat it as night, even when he stumbles, when he sins, this leader of Klal Yisrael, you should cover up for him and keep it quiet. However, we do tell him that he should lie low, remove himself from his public position of authority, and stay at home. And a similar concept is found with regards to any Talmud Chacham, any Torah scholar, who is liable for being placed in excommunication. Based in Likbot Lendos of Mehera, Basin should not quickly jump to place him in excommunication. Instead, they should avoid it at all costs, if possible. And in fact, some of the Amoraim would praise themselves over the fact that they had never been involved in the placing of an excommunication on a Talmud Chacham, even though he was liable for it, and even though they were willing to be involved with administering lashes to him if he deserved it. And they would even be willing to administer rabbinic lashes to him if the situation called for it. But again, they would avoid as much as possible placing any Talmud Chacham under a state of excommunication. Halacha Beis. The Ketzed Hu Anidoy. And how is one placed in excommunication? Omer, Ploni, Hei, B'Shamta. They simply say, Reuven should be placed in excommunication. V'nimidu B'Funav. And if you place him in excommunication when he's present, Omer Lo, Ploni Zeh, B'Shamta. You should say that this Reuven shall be placed in excommunication. Vachirim, and a higher form of excommunication called chirim. Omer lo, ploni mochrim. So you simply say that Reuven is now in a state of chirim. V'orbo, olabo, shvuabo, and any of these formulations, if you say that he should be cursed, he should have a different type of curse on him, he should be placed in an oath, nidoy. All those effectively work to place him in a state of nidoy. Halacha Gimel, v'keitzen matir and hanidoy or achirim, and how do you remove the status of nidoy or achirim? Omer lo, shari lecha, umachul lecha. You can say to him simply, you are freed up, you are forgiven. V'mitiru shalo b'fanav, and if he's being freed up when he's not present, omer lo, ploni shari lo, umachul lo. You can simply say that Reuven is freed up, he is forgiven. Halacha Dalet, mahu aminag sheinog menuda ba'atzmo v'shinog animo. What is the way in which a person who has a state of nidoy on him must behave and others behave towards him? Menuda asr l'sapr l'chabes gavel kol yimei niduyo. A person who's in a state of nidoy, this form of excommunication, it's forbidden for him to take a haircut or to wash his clothing, just as a mourner is not allowed to, and this is true all the days of his being in a state of nidoy. And we don't make a mezumen after eating a meal of bread, we don't include him in the benching, and we also don't even allow him to be part of a minyan or anything which requires 10. And you're also not allowed to sit within arba amos of him, in other words, within 6 to 8 feet. However, he is allowed to teach Torah to other people, and others are allowed to teach Torah to him, and he's allowed to be hired out to do work, and he's able to hire others to do work for him. And if he dies in this state of nidoy, based in Shulchan Manichan Evan Alarono, based in will send and place a rock on his coffin, Kolomar Shane Roganoso, Lefishum of Domenet Zibor, in order to demonstrate it, to say as if they were stoning him because he's been separated from the community. And it goes without saying that we don't eulogize him and we don't accompany his coffin out to be buried. Halacha Hey. Somebody who's in a state of this higher level of excommunication called chirim, he is not allowed to teach others Torah, and others don't teach him Torah. However, he is permitted to teach himself Torah in order that he not forget his learning. And again, he's increased in the level of restrictions against him, that he's not able to be hired out to others, and others do not hire him out. In fact, we don't do any business with him. The only level of business we are allowed to do with him, only a little bit in order so that he should survive. We don't want him to die, but otherwise we restrict all forms of business dealings with this individual. Halacha Vav. If somebody's been placed in excommunication for 30 days, and he hasn't requested, he hasn't tried to have it be removed, so then we offer a second level of excommunication in order to try to get him to repent. If he sits through another 30-day period of being a nidoy and he doesn't request that it be removed, so then we up the ante and we excommunicate him on this higher level of chirim. How many people does it take to remove either the status of nidoy or chirim? You can have it removed, assuming the circumstances call for it, with even three people who aren't experts in these halachos. And somebody who is an expert with regards to these halachos, he is able to remove this status of nidoy or chirim all on his own. And a Talmud is able to remove the status of nidoy or chirim even if his Rebbe is present. It doesn't count as somehow being mora halacha lefnei rabo. This is something which is permitted. Now, there's a very strange historical oddity in that there is no halacha ches in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Zayin. It's the only halacha, to my knowledge, where this occurs in all of Mishnah Torah, where a halacha's number is just skipped. Now, to be clear, the Rambam did not number the halachos. This was only printers at some later point in time, and for some reason, in the early printings, they left out ches, and therefore, in almost all versions that we have, there is no ches. And we just simply skip to tes, number 9, so don't feel bad if you're looking on screen or you're on, or you have a sefer open in front of you and it doesn't have halacha ches, it's not supposed to be there. Fascinating anomaly. Let's turn to halacha tes. If three people placed an individual in excommunication and then they left, and now this person has done tshuva and he wants to remove the status of nidoy, so then three others are able to come and remove the status of nidoy for him. Halacha yud. Misha lo yada, misha nedohu. Yelech lo eitzal nasi, biatr lo niduyo. If somebody's been placed in excommunication and doesn't know by whom, he doesn't know who that individual was, so then he should go to the nasi and have the nasi remove it. Because it's possible that this individual who had placed him in nidoy was as great as can be. Let's assume he was even the Av based in, the second in command. And then nobody else is able to remove that status of nidoy when the Av based in hasn't been agreeable to the fact that the nidoy should be removed. So therefore, if you go to the highest authority and have him remove it, so then you're safe and you can successfully act as being out of a state of nidoy. If somebody is placed under a ban of excommunication, even if it's on a condition, and even if he's done so on his own, he still needs to have it be removed by a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham shenida atzmo, afilu nida atzmo al das ploni, afilu al davar shechayv alav nidoy. How is that made for Latzmo? If a Talmud Chacham places himself in a state of excommunication, or even if he had done so assuming that somebody else would be agreeable with it, and even if it's deserving that he be placed in Nidoy because he's done something which is liable to be placed in Nidoy for, nonetheless, he still is able to remove it all on his own. He can get rid of it as a Talmud Chacham on his own. Halacha Yud Beis. Mishin Neduhu B'Chalom, pretty strange case. If somebody was placed in a state of excommunication in a dream, he went to sleep one night, and in his dream he saw himself be placed in excommunication, afili yada min aduhu, even if he knows who was the one who in his dream had placed him in excommunication, nonetheless, tzar chasar b'nei adam sheshonen halachos latiro min aduyo. He needs 10 people who are familiar enough, who know how to learn and perhaps even teach Torah Shebaal Peh on a high level, in order to remove the state of nidoy. It's a higher standard in this case of a dream. And if he can't successfully find 10 such people, he's got to push himself to find them until he reaches a parsa's distance, which is 4 mil, which is approximately 4 kilometers. Lo matza, if he can't successfully find them, matiran lo afilu asar shishonim mishnah. And if he doesn't successfully find such individuals, so then he can have 10 people who are on quite a high level, but who at least are familiar with learning of mishnah. Lo matza, matiran lo asar shishonim likros b'torah. If he can't find 10 people that even know how to learn mishnah, so then he should at least have 10 people who can read the Torah. Lo matza, if he can't find even 10 of that rank, matiran lo afilu asar shishonim yodim likros. So then he can have even 10 people that don't know how to read. Lo matzum kom asar, if he can't find in his locale 10 people, so then matir and lo afilu shlosha, so then he can even have 3 people who don't even know how to read Torah remove the status of nidoy for him. Halacha Yud Gimel, the final halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Mishin neduhu befanav, e matir and lo al befanav. Somebody's been placed in excommunication when he was present, so then we can't remove it unless he's present. Neduhu shelo befanav, if he's been placed in excommunication when he wasn't present, matir and lo befanav shelo befanav. So then you can remove it whether he's present or not. The ain bein nidoi lafar klum, and there's no minimum amount of time that the nidoi has to exist for. El menadin matirin berega echad kishiyachzra menudim lamutov. You can remove the status of nidoi in a moment if he immediately regrets what he's done and he does tshuva. So then you can remove the status of nidoi immediately. Imro, based on La Niachsev and Nidoi Kamashanim, and on the flip side, if unfortunately Beis Din sees it fit to leave this individual in a status of Nidoi for a number of years, Manich and Kefir Risho, we leave him in that status in accordance with how wicked he is. Vechain, Imro, based on Lahacharim Lozel, Lachachila, or Lahacharim Misha Yochalimo Vishosimo, O Misha Yamorimo Barba Amos, Macharim, Kedeli Yasro, Kedeli Asos Yagla Torah, Ajlo Yifritu Hachotim. And if Beis Din also sees fit to place an individual straight away in the higher level of excommunication called Chayrim, or to even put in Chayrim those that associate with him, they eat or drink with him or go with him, are almost of him, then they can do so in order to establish a fence for the Torah, in order to protect people from just breaking through, breaching the walls of the Torah, and allow sinners to proliferate. The Rambam concludes now with a very important perspective on when and when not to place somebody in Nidoi. Afal pi sheyesh reshus l'chacham l'nados l'chvodo, eino shvach l'tamid chacham l'haneg atzmo b'davar zeh. Even though a Talmid Chacham who's been disparaged by another person has the right to place the other person in excommunication, it's not considered praiseworthy for a Talmid Chacham to act in such a fashion. Ella, malim aznav midivrei am aretz v'lo yashus libolhen. What should he do instead? He should close his ears off from the words of the ignorant, and he shouldn't give his heart to them. Kenyan she'amar Shlomo b'chachmaso, as Shlomo said in Koheles, gam l'chol advar ma'asher yidabru al titein l'bcha. Even with regards to all the matters that people might say to you about you, don't pay heed. Don't give any heart to it. Here we have the third time the Rambam uses this type of formulation already in Mishneh Torah, that the early pious ones, they would hear their degradation and they wouldn't respond. Instead, they would forgive somebody who had disparaged them and they would let it be. And in fact, some of the greatest of our sages were proud of the fact that they were in such control of their character that they had never placed an individual in a status of excommunication, even when the individual had strongly disparaged them. And in fact, the Rambam concludes this component of it. This is the right way for a Talmid Chacham to behave. You shouldn't be jumping to place others in excommunication for the sake of your own honor. However, the Rambam now concludes that there is a big caveat. When is this true that a Talmid Chacham should not place other people in excommunication when they've degraded him? This is true when they've degraded him, disparaged him privately. But when a Talmid Chacham, Rachmana Litzlan, has been degraded publicly by another individual, it is forbidden for him to waive his dignity. And if he forgives this individual, he lets it go without taking the necessary steps to rectify the situation, he himself, the Talmid Chacham himself, will be punished. Why? Because this is a degradation not of his own honor, but a degradation of the Torah's honor. Ella, nokim v'noter hadavar k'nachash. Rather, how should the Talmid Chacham behave? He should take vengeance. He should hold a grudge over the matter like a viper, like a snake. Ad she'vakish menu mechila v'yislachlo. Until the individual seeks to make amends, he requests forgiveness, and he's done tshuva, and then the Talmid Chacham can forgive him. But otherwise, he is forbidden from doing so. Wow. A bit of a suddenly harsh, intense ending to this beautiful section of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Baruch Hashem, we finished, but how can we appreciate this conclusion? I think if we take a moment to reflect, though, we can see how this too is beautiful. It cements within our minds the fact that Talmud Torah is the most important thing in our lives. It should define us. It should be our highest aspiration to become true Talmidei Chachamim. And therefore, if we truly respect the Torah, we pay respect to those that have amassed Torah knowledge and who can teach us in turn that Torah, then we can well understand why such harsh consequences are necessary when somebody dares to disparage a Torah scholar. And when they do so publicly, that Torah scholar is not allowed to waive the act. He can't say, okay, look, it's not a big deal. I don't need to stand up for myself. He must stand up for himself so that way the Torah not be degraded. He represents the Torah. And if we recognize Torah for the gift that it is, the greatest thing in our lives, then we will make sure to pay it and those who have learned it the highest degree of respect imaginable. Mir Tashem, we should all grow from having learned this section together and deepen our understanding of the Torah, deepen our commitment towards pursuing Torah knowledge and love the Torah and grow from it.